woke up this morning and was browsing through some news, and I realized that, you know, life isn't that bad when you're not having crazy bitches poop on your bed like Johnny Depp. You know, I was just
like, oh God, I saw a picture of that. It's like, what?
It's like, you know, that this whole thing,
she blamed
like,
it on the dog.
I know. It's just the more you read it, and I really don't care about what Johnny Depp or Amber Heard do. I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. Celebrities are on a different level than any most normal human beings are. But it's just like, it's almost like reading a Looney Tunes cartoon.
This, oh my
this
God.
Defamation yeah. lawsuit. It's like out of a cartoon.
On both sides,
yeah,
really.
It's on both sides. She's shitting on the bed, and he's
messaging Paul Bettany.
Yeah. Taking pictures.
He's like,
caught her a whore, and he's sleeping with cocaine. It's like, it's so like out of this cartoon.
I had to, you know, Jackie is a big Johnny Depp fan. She's like, oh, that's one of her men, you know, like five. Yeah, that's my man, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm like, I said, and they're like, so is this you say texting Paul Bettany saying you wanted to light her corpse on fire and then fuck her to make sure that she was dead? And he's like,
I read that.
Yeah,
I was like,
yes,
what?
That was, yeah, I said that. Like, what the fuck?
I know. So I'm kind of reading this stuff, and I'm taking it as like a comedy going.
Now, did he text that sober or was he drunk?
Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know. Who knows, man?
I tell you what, though, he's look all this, the stress, he looks like he's aged about 15 years the last couple of years.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He just looks so rough and out of it. And I'm listening, I'm reading this stuff, and I'm like, lock them both the fuck up. They're both fucking crazy, you know? It's like, and I do feel.
Although I think Amber Heard is more in the wrong than Johnny Depp was.
It seems so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I kind of feel bad because he has suddenly been blacklisted in Hollywood. Disney, you know, fired him from any further projects, and and you know, Warner Brothers too with the Dumbledore movie. And it feels like, but yet she's over here making Aquaman 2, and made a couple other movies since, and no one's really, and that's the unfortunate part of the Me Too movement sometimes, is that all sides need to be looked at, and men are quickly accused at times, and that seems to be what's happened here, that he was quickly accused and he's taken a hit for it in his career, and she hasn't, and hopefully the truth
handcuff the man
out.
Throw him in the slammer, and then we'll figure out if he actually did something
exactly
later.
You know, and I'm not saying he's totally innocent in all this, you know, we may never know, but as of now, it looks like she's absolutely fucking crazy, and looks like she's causing a lot
crazy. The dog's not even that big. It's like it's a teacup Yorkie.
I just boggle by.
And there's this fucking 10-pound shit.
Let's be honest. I mean, she's hot. I mean, Amber Heard is a beautiful woman, and it's just like I'm trying to imagine her like just dropping trowel, just shit on the bed. It's like what.
Has she done this to other celebrities' homes too? Is there this ongoing thing in Hollywood where they're like, don't invite Amber Heard over, she's gonna shit on your bed, dude. She did it the other day.
I mean, yeah. It's just so bizarre. But
is the show started now? Or are we just
show is
we're started, baby.
Okay.
We're rolling, baby.
This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long the Confused.
I said countdown commencing before I started. That was
I didn't hear a countdown.
That was the cold open.
Control to major tone.
But you know, it's a humorous situation. It's not humorous in some ways. If whether Johnny or Amber
the
were
sad situation.
Yeah, they were. It's not humorous in the way that one of them could have been mentally or physically harmed by any kind of abuse. But it's also funny to sit back and just the bizarreness of it and kind of grin at it because we don't understand those kind of lives and you know and have a little fun with it too. But obviously we don't wish any abuse upon anybody because that's not cool. But so how are you fellas this week? Hopefully no one has pooped on your beds. I mean, I would think Matt that if Jackie was to shit on the bed, you're going to boot her out of the house.
I don't know. I might
at least call and say, hey, come get her for the night. There's something wrong with her.
I may borrow your couch that night. Yeah. Like, hey, there's a weird smell coming from the bedroom. I can't do this. she said it was the baby. No.
Are you guys doing well?
But yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. All good.
Yep. Peachy.
Yep. Did you, so long pre-show, did you start your new job yet, or did you start next week or something?
May 2nd.
Okay. Well, excuse me. Ooh. So right nice. Around the corner. Good deal, man.
Yeah, right around the corner.
Best of luck
I don't want that. Any ticking time bombs happening while I'm on my last week of my position, nor happening when I'm trying to transition into my new job, you know? Oh. So I'm trying to put out as many loose ends as I can.
That, yeah, man, that sounded very intense. I'm just going to let you have that and say, yeah.
You did. Good luck. Very John. I'm getting a John Wick vibe.
Just like very intense there. Like, yeah. I don't want any loose ends. And it's like, transition, I'm going to fuck some motherfucker. I mean, it was pretty intense, dude.
Having a beer. Leave me alone.
Me and Matt were absolutely leaving you alone. We're letting you have your moment there, man. It's cool, dude.
Yeah,
cool.
Man. That's your moment. That's right. You know, man. We're just experiencing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've had a good week too, man. Work is work. You know, it's always going to be tiresome, but overall, it's been a good week. Good holiday last weekend. It was Easter across the world, and that was cool. And so good times. And good baseball this week with my son, so it was good fun. And now it's another weekend is upon us. And that's good and bad. You know, like weekends are cool because you get to rest, but then it's like, I got to do like house chores and shit. It's like sometimes being an adult sucks. You're like, God dang, I gotta clean the house. I gotta mow the well. I don't really have to mow the yard, but you know, that's what I got a teenager for. Like, not too much longer, please. Matt. You're gonna have one of those, man. It's great, dude. Just you go watch them mow the yard, and you just sit back and you drink your tea or your beer. Give them a thumbs up. It's wonderful.
There you go. That sounds good. That sounds good.
It is excellent. Let me tell you. So. Let's officially get into today's show then with Download This, where we tell people what we streamed, played, or watched this week. And whoever wants to go first can go. I think I went first last week.
I'll go first. I didn't do anything. Except, actually, I actually watched Get Caught Up on Moon Knight.
There we go.
And it's good. But for some reason, I just can't get into it for some reason. Maybe it's Oscar Isaac's English accent that always, you know, takes me out of it a little
well,
bit.
Well, I haven't watched the fourth episode yet, but I find like I started realizing after the first three episodes, I haven't watched the fourth one yet. It's like pretty much it's a bunch of setup for the last 10 to 15 minutes of every episode. And then something happens, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. So,
yeah.
But I still am enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. This is just basically to tide me over until Obi-Wan comes out next month. So, but yeah, other than that, Moon Knight's all right so far. I'm planning on watching Dune this weekend, though. My brother, he finally watched the new Batman movie. And, he didn't like it as much as we did. His biggest issue was pacing was a little too slow for him. And I told him, well, you're wrong. And I will disown you if you hate it. So,
so you haven't seen Dune yet?
I haven't yet.
I thought you had
but watched. I will watch it this weekend. I will watch it this weekend. And I will have something to talk about next
week. Yeah, now Dune, talk about pacing. It's a long 3-hour movie.
but here's the thing that gets me, though. What did you think of Blade Runner 2049 or 2149?
I felt it was a long 3-hour movie.
Yeah. My brother felt he was more engrossed with Dune than he was with Blade Runner.
Really? See, I think as much.
Yeah. And I told him, well, it's done by the same director. And then he says, well, I mean, I guess I was more into the world of Dune than I was with Blade Runner.
I think I like Blade Runner better than I like Dune.
Yeah. But we'll see. I'm a very patient movie watcher. Mm-hmm. I mean, as y'all know, yeah. I mean, but yeah, he gave the score to Batman is 7.5. And I'm like, that's a little low, but whatever. Different strokes for different folks, you know.
That's real low.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I can but understand.
He really, B, he really yeah. liked, he did like Pattinson as Batman. He loved the cinematography, but for him, the pacing was slow, you know. Maybe I told him, maybe you're just not in the right mood to watch it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is a very, very different Batman movie. I will, you know, concede to that. But yeah, I did my brother's download this for him. Huh? Well, anyhow, Final Fantasy, real. That's about it.
Well, I'll go second ahead. Then and play off that a little bit because I didn't watch anything new this week, but I did rewatch Batman and I found it the pacing much better the second time. Like I really thought it flows really well. I like the ending a lot more than I did the first time with the Fox Riddler's, you know, doing his bidding or so to speak, or continuing his work. I liked it better the second viewing. Like it's might be my favorite Batman movie. I mean, I really, really like it a lot. The musical score is amazing. The Batmobile scene is still fantastic. There's just so much more I'm noticing in it. The little idiosyncrasies of the film, just the way Pattinson and Gordon interact with each other. Zoe is the perfect Catwoman. She's tough. She's strong, but it's also a little flirty and sexy. I'm finding things I like about it even more the second viewing that I watched it. And I think the pacing, it went a lot faster watching it the second time. Maybe it's because I knew what was going to happen, but I just felt it. It's very well paced. So your brother is wrong.
Did you pick up on things that you didn't catch the first time?
Yeah, there's a lot of little details like just things in the Riddler speech in Arkham Asylum that, you know, you didn't really take in the first time about his plan and just little details in the backgrounds and stuff that are there. Like Reeves really paying attention to the world of this film a lot. Like the Riddler being in the window when they first show the lounge. And after I saw that online, I sent y'all in the text. I went back and looked. And I'm like, yep, sure enough, he's there. Right. Like the 31-minute mark. That's pretty cool. People complain that whenever Gordon and Batman interrogate the Penguin, they leave him there. Well, they're like, why didn't you arrest him after just causing all that mayhem on the road? Well, at that point, they were worried about, you know, well, Gordon doesn't know it, but, you know, Bruce thinks that Alfred is going to be attacked. So he rushes off to Wayne Manor. So I think the reason they left the Penguin there is the Penguin does them better out in the streets anyways. Why take him in, you know, even after all that destruction? You know, as he works, and I think it was just a matter of a moment in the film. I don't think it's a plot hole, but I really like it a lot. And the only other thing I watched this week is I rewatched Spider-Man Far From Home or No Way Home, sorry, and still really good. It holds up really well. I still think it's maybe like my third or fourth favorite MCU film. I really think Infinity War, Winter Soldier, and Endgame, those three are just a little bit better. But I think No Way Home is right behind those. I think it's a really good film. It's definitely probably the best Spider-Man movie made, I think. I was wondering how it would hold up on a second viewing, but it holds
up. But in the bubble, in the bubble, though, how well would it do if it didn't have, you know, the other Spider-Mans?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some nostalgia factor there for sure. But I think it serves the story well enough that it's forgivable. On that, I think I didn't realize so much watching it the first time, but watching it this time, like Tom Holland is really good in the movie, like just really good. I really buy into him as Peter and Spider-Man, and I know it's a made up character, but I really feel for him in those last few minutes of the film where everyone forgets him, and it really kind of pisses me off. And surely Marvel's going to come up with something to give memories back. They're not going to leave him like this forever just because it's just like you really feel bad for the kid after everything he's been through. And I just think it's solid. But I can see how the nostalgia factor plays on that. But I think it still works. And I think it works because it hadn't been done before. Like, you know, I felt like it's still fresh enough, that idea of the multiverse and all that. So it's cool. It's really all I had time to watch this week. I did start the fourth episode of Moon Knight. I just haven't finished it yet.
It has some scary moments in it, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyhow.
Yeah, I started it actually last night, and I just couldn't keep my eyes open. After I got home from the baseball game, I tried to watch it, and I was like, okay, I can't. I was falling asleep on the couch. Old man problems.
Matt. That's how I was with the I messaged Josh. I was watching I was trying to, you know, like you, Mark, rewatch Batman and see how it was second time around. And I feel like I was able to control the brightness a little bit better on my TV because I was like, wow, this film really is dark.
Yeah, I felt it wasn't as dark on HBO Max. Like it's a little brighter. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still dark, but yeah, you can see it better than being projected on film. Yeah.
I fell asleep right before the car chase scene. And I was like, that's what I really wanted to see. But you know, as far as what I was able to watch, you know, I think it holds up pretty well. I think I enjoyed it, you know, just as much as I did whenever I watched it in theaters. And, maybe I can finish the other half this week. I also, had the urge to watch No Way Home again, and I went ahead and
look at you it. Two like yeah. twins.
I was like
the same stuff.
Yeah, it was funny. I was like, wow, this is weird. My uncle had came over, and he you know, just a little side story. He brought over basically my grandpa's Ratchet. You know, he passed away. 5 years ago, and I inherited all of his tools, and he wanted me to have them, and some of them were, the bearings needed to be replaced, and my uncle was able to get, replacement kits through his job as a Klein school mechanic, and, you know, Snap-on guys go over there, you get like one free replacement per year. My uncle doesn't use Snap-on tools, so we were able to get it, and we're like reforging this thing, basically, and I was like, you got the shards of Narsil thing, and you figure I'd watch Lord of the Rings, you know, or Return of the King or something when they reforge, the shards of Narsil or something. But I was like, I turned it on Amazon Prime and Spider-Man was there. And, I was like, watch No Way Home and see how, you know, if I still feel, you know, that nostalgia feeling that I got in theaters. And, I don't know if I got that feeling as much, but, you know, it was definitely really enjoyable. I think I kind of agree with Mark. I think Winter Soldier Infinity War probably better. But, you know, this is, you know, right there behind it. And then, you know, if they took Toby and Garfield out of it, I wonder how, you know, that'd be a whole different film because they didn't have to defeat all those guys on his own. And you'd probably have to introduce another Avenger in there. But yeah. And then, I watched, Moon Knight, and it just keeps going down. I feel like we keep going down the rabbit hole. It's really, really cool. The story, just how it's unfolding. And, I feel like Mark also right again, you know, it's like that last 10 minutes of the movie is like the meat, you know, is really the meat of each episode. And I guess maybe when we get to the last episode, it'll all be, you know, just heavy, you know, on the last one.
Well, and I think I said that last week, like it feels like it could have been done as a 2-hour movie. But I think the lore is just what's making it so interesting for me. And Oscar, I think is really good in the show. Cause there seems like a lot of wasted time in it, but yet the lore is, like I said, interesting enough that I'm like, I want to see what happens. And it's only 6 episodes. So it's not like it's hard to commit to, you know?
Yeah, I think it's his best performance since that robot movie he's in. I forget the
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina, yeah. And I liked him in that one, even though it's a different kind of definitely a different kind of movie than anything else I've seen him in. But you know, maybe one day I'll rewatch that one.
I was looking the other day. Yeah, I forgot I forgot he was the thuggy ex-boyfriend or whatever it was in Drive with Ryan Gosling. I forgot that he was in that. Yeah. he's all bearded up and tattooed up in it. And I was like, I didn't realize that was him. I only saw Drive like one time, and you know, it was back before he ever did Star Wars or anything. So,
yeah, that was shortly after the Mustang came back out with a 5.0, and they had Ryan Gosling driving around in it.
Yeah, that movie was okay. It was one of those I watched it once, was enough. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was an experiment in brutal. It was an experiment movie in brutal violence. That's the way I felt about it. I was just like, "Ugh, it was okay."
Yeah,
but cool, good stuff, man. All right, well, let's get into today's feature film, our final comedy for our comedy month. This movie was picked basically by Matt, and I'm gonna
I will summarize.
It's three amigos.
Yeah. Silent movie era Western actors are mistaken for actual heroes by a woman and child of the village of Santa Poco in Mexico. And they send out a telegram to ask for their help as they are, you know, basically being kicked out of Goldsmith Studios for demanding too much money. And they go down because they're offered 100,000 pesos. And they think they're filming a movie, but they really have to save the village. And, you know, it's all about the shenanigans ensuing whenever they come to realization of this. And them, you know, honing their years in the movie industry and putting those skills to actual applicable use and defeating the El Guapo and his men and freeing the village of Santa Poco.
First off, I want to apologize to our listeners for these movies we picked for Comedy Month. I feel we could have done a little better, even though Harold and Kumar is fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Second all, the funniest joke in this entire fucking movie is the fact that 100,000 pesos isn't very much at all. That's ridiculous.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like, I saw something while I was checking notes of this film. It's equal to like a couple thousand bucks at that time in American money. It's like, it's nothing.
Yep.
Well, you're talking about in the early 1900s. That's a lot of money still, thousands of.
Well, no, this dollars. Is like, no, this is an early 1900s. They played silent movie actors, but the movie's supposed to, they never really give a timeline in this movie. I feel like it's early ages of Hollywood, like 1940, 1950, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what, because that's the weird thing about this. There's like the movie studio looks really large and built. It looks awfully fancy for, you know, so I wasn't sure what, it looked like it was filmed all in the Warner Brothers back lot.
Yeah. Spielberg would almost directed this, but you know, of course, chose to direct E.T. instead.
Well, thank God. Well, John Landis directed this, and Landis is usually a pretty solid director, but he, I guess the studio took this film from him and re-edited it, and it shows because it's poorly edited. The scenes jump around at times, and the movie, for me, it only works when Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Chevy Chase are on screen. That's the only time the movie works. All the other scenes in the movie don't work at all. You don't care. The characters are useless. They're boring. They're not funny. Only those three guys are funny. And they're even only very remotely funny because the material they have to work with in this movie is just not great, unfortunately. I know you like this movie, Matt. I know I'm kind of dumping on it. But I will give you this.
I like the movie, Matt.
Hold up. I found this more entertaining than Robin Hood. I will give it that.
There you go.
And that's because Steve Martin and Martin Short and Chevy Chase are so good at their crafts. I mean, they're masters of it. And I legitimately like the tequila scene. I think that's funny. You know, where they drink the tequila. It's always a pleasure to watch Steve Martin's facial expressions, the way he delivers scenes. So I'm not going to hate on this as much as I hate on Robin Hood. There are things I enjoyed about it. I just think the movie overall falls kind of flat. It feels like a very long hour and 44-minute movie because there's so much wasted time in it. And then Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Chevy Chase come on screen, and all of a sudden you're interested in it again because they're what makes the movie work. But there's so much wasted time in between their scenes. So the movie definitely could have been like an hour and 20 minutes long and probably been a much tighter, better film.
I can agree with that. Tighten up the runtime.
I don't.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm open. I enjoy it, obviously. You know, I think that My Little Buttercup scene is just fucking hilarious.
I love that scene.
Well, again, like, that's
these badasses are going to come in and.
Well, again, and that's these three guys doing what they're so good at in those scenes. Yeah.
But yeah, is that everyone's favorite scene in the movie? Basically.
No, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But I think overall this movie is a delightful movie. Doesn't have to be like gut-bustingly funny or anything like that. It just puts a smile to my face throughout the whole film, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess, but for me, the funniest scene for me was when Steve Martin realizes that shit is real.
Oh yeah. That's my favorite scene too, when he gets shot and he walks up to Guapo and he's talking to him, talking smack and all this, and then he's like, comes back around and he goes, "This is real." That was funny.
That was hilarious. And then they started crying. Yes. Like demasculating themselves. And die. Then they're like, the worst thing is,
and they're trying to act
like it's paid.
Yeah.
Martin Short had the best line of other, and we're not getting paid. You know. I just like the randomness of them traveling to El Guapo's lair, you know, the singing bush thing.
That's weird.
The invisible swordsman.
It's so weird, though. It's
like... Yeah, it is weird, but I don't know. I liked it. You know, it's just whatever. Because it's like movies nowadays play it safe. They try to be as logical as possible, take the fun out of it, you know. And it's just like, yeah, that happened in the movie, but that's why I like it. It's random.
Yeah, man. I feel like randomness is underappreciated. That's
Randy Newman, the voice of the singing bush, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of funny, too. I didn't realize this was Martin Short's first feature film.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. And they were about to go with Rick Moranis for Martin Short's role, too.
Yep.
But he was unavailable. So that was an interesting fact.
And then John Belushi was going to be Chevy Chase at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, Chevy Chase didn't want to do the movie first. He turned it down, and then it was Belushi. Then when Belushi, I think his schedule got busy, and so they came back, and I think Steve Martin talked Chevy Chase into doing it.
Wait a minute, didn't Belushi die?
Did he die before his movie? Is that what happened? Yeah. Chevy Chase.
Like in
Chevy
85 Chase or something.
But Chevy Chase, I think, kind of hates everything he does, but he really hates this movie. He wanted to do no press for it. He was just not interested. He was like, nope.
He was on the Johnny Carson show.
Oh, he did some stuff because they made it. Right. He was trying to get out of it. Yeah.
He did tell Spielberg that, you know, it was probably best that he not direct the film because he was like, yeah,
it's kind of funny though.
Great.
The 40th anniversary of SNL. Martin Short and Steve Martin said that, yeah, they were going to show up in the Three Amigos get up. Mm-hmm. They told Chevy Chase that to get his costume ready. And when the time to show up for their little cameo, Martin and Steve showed up in regular, you know, suits. And Chevy Chase was the only one that was wearing the Three Amigos shirt. So they left him out to dry.
That's fucking hilarious.
Little prank there. I don't know if it was out of spite or just to rib him, but, you know.
Definitely a good gag.
It was a good gag at Chevy's expense, you know. Let's see. What else did I like? I like when they're trying to, the Three Amigos are trying to storm the base in their own funny way. what was it? Chevy Chase was swung from his part of the base and into the bedroom, and Martin Short gets stuck up in the rafters. Well, gets his legs stuck up in the wires and stuff in the pinatas. So he's like stuck in midair. And Steve Martin ended up in the prison cell. And
trying to get to the lever.
Yeah.
I like Chevy trying to disguise himself as one of El Wapo's henchmen. And he's like, what did we do? We plundered. And we rode off on the women.
Yeah. And one of my favorite scenes in the film also was the campfire scene.
Yeah.
I really like that scene a lot.
You know, the horses singing.
The horses singing, and they're a really good song too that they were singing too. I really like that song.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of my days when I was a kid. In elementary, we were forced to sing those old cowboy songs.
Yep.
It's like, hey, this is actually kind of catchy when I was a kid. So there's some double nostalgia to that for me. So,
definitely some old school in that film.
Yeah, the movie.
In this film.
They tried to make this movie as early as 1980 with Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd, and John Belushi. Mm-hmm. But then Belushi, it was going to be called The Three Caballeros, and of course Belushi died in 1981. Mm-hmm. So the movie sat in limbo for a few years. So SNL started making more movies, and this was an SNL. It's a Lorne Michaels production. So SNL Studios helped produce this film. So it did almost start there.
Yeah, and that time critics did not appreciate it. So maybe there was something there, Mark. Maybe there was something there. Felt that the jokes were flat too.
And I can be subjective. I mean, I can say it is an entertaining movie. It's not that it's not entertaining. Like I said, I found this way more entertaining than Men in Tights. But I only found it entertaining when there are three stars on the screen. And that's why I felt it could have been cut a little bit and paced a little bit better. But it's not a good movie. So I can see why critics didn't like it. But that doesn't mean it can't be a guilty pleasure entertaining movie. You know, and it certainly is that, but it's not a good movie. You know, I mean, and that's just being honest. It's an okay movie, but it's definitely entertaining. And I can see why Matt likes it, because it's got some really stupid jokes in it.
Yes. You scum-sucking pigs, you son of a motherless goat.
I think the John Lovitz and Phil Hartman cameos at the beginning are interesting.
Matt, yeah.
Would you say that this film had a plethora of jokes?
A plethora? Yes, yeah. I would agree. It has a plethora.
Matt.
Yeah.
Do you know what the plethora is?
I don't know.
Anyways, another funny scene was when they were in the desert, and they had different levels of water
in their
canteens.
According to IMDb, the movie takes place in 1920, and 100,000 pesos would have been worth $50,000.
Yeah.
So.
And $50,000 fixed inflation is, let me check.
So I guess it's for inflation at $641,000 today.
Yeah.
So I guess it is a lot of money, but I guess in the movie it doesn't feel like that much.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's ever clear in the movie that it takes place in 1920.
Yeah. What they're going to do with their money. And Steve Martin's like, a shiny car. I'm going to drive it around. And Chevy's like, I'm going to be a big shot. I'm going to party in New York or Paris. And
how much is that?
Steve Martin's, Martin Short's like, I'm going to start a humanitarian charitable organization. And they're like, we thought about that too. We're going to do that first and then get the car. Yeah. But a lot of, I guess, like you said, Long, a lot of smiles throughout this film. I like whenever the German guy sees Martin Short, and he's like, oh, Ned Niederlander. Oh, I used to watch your movies. And he challenges him to do that quick draw.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty fun scene.
Well, that's kind of a running gag in the movie too. Is like, they're supposed to be like these big movie stars. And then people are like, I think they look familiar, but nobody really knows who they are.
Yeah.
And they act like they're these big movie stars. Everybody should know who they are too. So that's kind of an underlying gag in the movie. Like, they're supposed to be famous, but people think they know them, but they don't really know them. They're like, they look familiar. Cause in 1920, imagine, you know, you had to go to like big towns to have movie theaters. Like, you know, there were, probably wasn't a movie theater in San Puerto, whatever it was, Mexico, you know?
The Poco.
Yeah, there was probably not a movie theater there, you know?
Yeah. And I like whenever their El Wapo shows up to see these guys, and he's like, "These are funny guys. Kill one of them."
Yeah. I bet you Mark didn't like it as much because it reminds him of too much of real life, because those three amigos reminded of his other two amigos. So
that's right.
So yeah. So
he's Matt's the Chevy Chase.
Matt's more like the Martin Short character.
There you go.
I'm more like the Steve Martin character, and you know, Mark's the Chevy Chase guy. So yeah. It kind of hits a little too close to home for him.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when that chick
thought about that when I was watching it, but okay, bitch.
Especially when that chick's like, can I kiss you? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, she's like, well, maybe you can take me and you can kiss me on the veranda. And he's like, on the lips is fine.
He says, what, kiss her now? What, now?
Now? Right here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're in a Mexican town, and he's like, do you have anything else here besides Mexican food?
the taco meat's falling out of the friggin' tortilla.
And they just answer like, no. No, yeah. I mean, you know, this it's an entertaining movie. I mean, it's not – it's – yeah, you know, I did not enjoy watching it. Like, Robin Hood was hard to get through. I will admit, I did not really enjoy that one. This one I watched, and I didn't find this one hard to make it through other than look at the clock. Like, is this almost over? Because it just felt kind of like it could have been a little bit shorter. But I was definitely more entertained in this than Robin Hood. So
– did I watched, someone, I guess, pirated the movie on YouTube, and I watched the entire thing on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
The whole movie. I'm like, so I was working, doing my job, and then I had the movie on my cell phone, so playing while I'm, you know, doing my job. So
yeah. Well, I think I would give the movie probably, I think it's a B-, but I will give Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short and their scenes a B+. Because they're the most entertaining part of the movie. I only care about their scenes. The rest of the people I really didn't care about. So I think that's the way I would rank it.
Yeah, I'd give it a B-.
Yeah, I was going to say solid B.
Dang, Mark, you come in with a higher score than we did.
No, I said B-. I said,
oh, I thought you said B+.
That was my overall. No, B+ just for Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short in their scenes.
Yeah,
I'd B- overall. Score. But fun, you know, fun flick. Survive comedy month.
There you go. You live to fight another day.
Yeah. Now will I survive this Duel of the Nerds topic that feels very biased towards me because of conversations we've had in text messages in the past. So I'm just, I don't know. I'm going to let Long go first on his side. I'm just going to mail this in because I just feel like I'm going to, I'm on an upward path here, no matter what I say.
So what?
So
well, Matt, Mark,
go ahead and introduce the topic.
Yeah. Here. So the topic here, since there's Mexican food in the movie, and we've talked about Mexican food before amongst ourselves, what is better, traditional or Tex-Mex? Mark has Tex-Mex. Long has traditional. Mark, do you want to go first or do you yield?
Long can go first.
All right.
When you are ready.
Yes. I would have to say that authentic Mexican food is the best. And the greatest example of this is that, you know, I just go down the street and order me 3 Taco Supremes from Taco Bell. And that is the most authentic Mexican food that I will ever hold a candle up to. And the cheese, the sour cream, the mystery meat, beef, the taco shells. I mean, you can't get more authentic than that. So, yeah, hats off. Thank you, Taco Bell, for providing us American Neanderthals with your culinary superiority with your Taco Supremes. So,
Long told me he was going to do that, but I didn't think he really would.
I did. Well, go ahead. Huh. I have the high ground, Mark.
That's your argument?
That's my argument.
An ode
Taco Bell.
To the Taco Bell Supreme Taco?
Yeah. That's authentic Mexican right there, buddy. Cheese. Shredded cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, tortilla shells.
And the guaranteed shits with it.
And the guaranteed shits with it. So, I can't get more authentic than that. That's the culinary experience. Oh, man.
You have a minute and a half. Would you like to elaborate on the nacho fries?
No, I yield the floor to Mark.
This new segment might not even make it through the year. Okay. Just kidding.
Mark, you're Tex-Mex champion.
I really didn't even really have an argument on this because but you know, first off, what does an Asian know about authentic Mexican food anyway? Yeah, I went there.
Oh, we're going racist now, huh?
You know, I'm from Texas. I was born and raised.
So am I, fool. So I'm from Texas, too.
I feel Tex-Mex.
I was born and raised in Memorial City Hospital.
Tex-Mex is more authentic for being from Texas than authentic Mexican food. And first off, I don't even really know what authentic Mexican food is. The taquerias where you go get the shit from? I don't know. I just eat it because it fucking tastes good. Like, Matt, for some reason, wants to give me shit about liking Torchy's tacos. To me, there's good fucking tacos, okay? It might be Tex-Mex. I was raised
not Taco Bell.
I was raised going to El Gallo over there near my high school. That's Tex-Mex, and it's good shit, and it gives you the shit just as much as authentic Mexican food does. Oh, good old Monterey House, that was like the original Tex-Mex restaurant back in the day. I mean, if Tex-Mex gave us enchiladas and good shit like that, then I mean, who am I to argue that it's not authentic? You know, what do I know? I'm a white boy. I don't know what authentic is either. None of us. Matt's only a half breed. So, you know, none of us have the right to speak on what's authentic, what's better. If it's good.
Dang. Someone's wearing Grand Dragon colors today, aren't they?
Damn right. You know what? You're going to give me a shitty topic and set me up for failure. I'm going to come at you strong, and that's what I did. And that's it, man. All right? Because as long as it tastes good and it feels good in your tummy and going down your throat and all that warm gooiness and cheese and Mexican goodness and chips and salsa, I mean – that's all that matters, as long as it fucking tastes good. I don't give a shit if it's authentic, okay? And I have no idea where I'm even going with this anymore. So, yeah. Terrible topic.
You got a minute and 10 minutes.
I don't even care at this point.
Would you like to talk about Casa Ole?
No. There's Jose Luna, the Astros, used to make commercials for it. That's all I remember.
I remember.
I ate there like one time. It was all right.
Okay. All right. And Long, your rebuttal.
My rebuttal is authentic Mexican food is cheaper than that Torchy's tacos or Fuzzy's tacos or whatever, or Chipotle's tacos. And you got to experience birria tacos.
Chipotle
too,
sucks. You know?
And how would you know?
I ate there once or twice. It wasn't good.
Well, Taco Bell's still better than Chipotle any day. What else? Man, just can't get over the fact that, man, shredded beef tacos, that's like, I find that authentic Mexican food doesn't rely on cheese and sour cream as much as Tex-Mex does. And really just get the way you have to have the best marinated skirt steaks and fajitas and boom, perfect drunk food, even though I've never been drunk that much. So that's my rebuttal, Matt. So cheaper and better made.
Okay.
And how?
You know, if that's his rebuttal.
And I've never had any stomach issues eating from a taco truck. Never. Zero. I could where, you know, on my mother's grave.
If you, my all I have to say in my rebuttal, I'm going to keep this about 10 seconds short and sweet. If Taco Bell is your argument, then goddamn it, if Matt lets you win, Matt's fucking biased. And two, margaritas, they go good with Tex-Mex or fucking authentic. That's it.
See, now my rebuttal didn't rely on Taco Bell that time.
It's true.
So, yeah.
But shredded cheese and lettuce, that goes on both sides. So that don't make no sense either.
No, it doesn't. Matt can attest to it. Right, Matt?
I do it. Yeah, I can attest to it. On
yeah, authentic Mexican food does not rely heavily on cheese.
It doesn't. In fact,
so.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of it unless you're talking about a quesadilla.
Yeah, which is not a... Yeah, go ahead. All right, Matt, who wins?
This was tough because I felt like Mark had a stronger opening. And then you just kind of mailed yours in, and then you're like, okay, well, you're like Rocky Balboa. You got beat up a little bit, and you're like, okay, I'm going to start hitting back. But you just saved yourself, like, the shorter segment to make a stronger argument. And then Mark's like, he chose the quick quip on his rebuttal versus his – you know, so y'all had, like
– He was throwing the match, Matt. He was
– he was trying to, yeah. Oh, this is tough. Okay, so...
No, it's not. He was throwing the match. You were giving me the win, technically.
Oh my. Man, if you let...
I think this is going to be the first draw of the year. Oh. I think this is going to be the first draw.
Oh, you're going to make us have a rematch next week? All right.
I'm going to make you have... You both have a rematch. All right. I feel like Long, if you would have went out... kind of like how Mark did, and you started giving examples of restaurants. Then on your when you had the longer segment, you probably would have had you probably would have won.
Were you trying to give me this match this week?
And right? then
Mark,
and then if Mark would have come up with a stronger rebuttal than other than just margaritas, which not bad, but I feel like he could have. You know, maybe if you started talking about like specials. I
lost so many listeners.
Yeah, I know. Like, Matt has to pick another topic. But no.
Oh, Mark's gone.
Okay. Yeah, he's gone. He left. So I'm gonna say it is a. I almost wanted to give it to you, Long, because that second argument was pretty good. I just feel like there wasn't enough of it. You know, you could have made a whole lot more, because the taco truck thing is something that I, you know, 100%, you should not be paying $20 for a quesadilla. You know, a $5 quesadilla is that's how you know you're getting real Mexican food, where you pay like $5 for a quesadilla, or like $2 a taco versus like $5.50 a taco. So it's, you know, if you're going to Papacito's and you're like, oh yeah, you know, me and I'm going to go out on a date and it's going to cost $50 for two people. That's not real Mexican food. It's not. They're trying to, you know, put their thumb up your butt and make you think it's Mexican food, but it's not. It's the worst kind of Tex-Mex, you know. The best kind of Tex-Mex is the reasonably priced ones that, really real Tex-Mex, not, you know, Mexican food that's trying to be Mexican food, but it's really not. It's not even Tex-Mex. But the food truck thing, man, food trucks, man, that's where the argument would have really given you a little bit more beef.
All right.
But well, it's the first draw. Mark is back. It's the first draw. I'm going
to make one rule next week.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to make the debate, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? That's not fucking happening.
Oh my God. No, I won't. That's too hard of a debate.
That's really. Not happening.
Yeah. But no, I will not. It'll be something more. It'll be something funner. No. Well, it probably is. You probably will have guessed it. Even if you really didn't guess it, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's what I was guessing. Yeah. Yeah. I just know.
Anyway, let's do some news. So Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or across the Spider-Verse has been delayed to July or June of 2023. So we got to wait a little bit longer. Sony didn't say why, just said there's been delay in production. So feels like this movie has been delayed a lot since COVID-19. And we got to wait a little bit longer. But it is what it is. The comic book character's Bone, written by Jeff Smith. This show that's been in development hell now, for many years, from an animated series from Nickelodeon. The recent was Netflix was going to do animated films. Well, Jeff Smith recently gave an interview at Comic-Con, and it looks like Netflix has canceled any plans for it too. So it feels like Jeff has tried really hard to get his work made into some sort of animated form for many years now, but just not meant to be. And I've read the entire Bone Saga, and I really like it. And I was always thought it would play well to an animated film or animated series. And maybe we'll hold out hope that one day we'll still get some sort of version of it. Sega, man, they're playing off the success of Sonic the Hedgehog, and they want to make a Streets of Rage movie.
Yes. Hell yeah, man.
But isn't it just like a fancier version of Double Dragon? I mean, it's like.
Or Final Fight.
Yeah. We're going to make a movie about a bunch of people punching people. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Double Dragon should have been. Well, and we had a Patreon episode of this. But, hopefully they don't follow the route of Double Dragon. And I don't think they will. It's not a complicated film. A girl gets kidnapped. And three dudes that punch the shit out of people for a living go punch the shit out of people to save the girl. Boom. That's your movie. Like the 80s, man.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Well, and lastly, let's talk about that new Thor trailer that finally came out this week with Thor, Blood and Thunder, with little Guns N' Roses in the background. I don't know. This trailer wasn't as exciting to me as seeing like the first trailers for Spider-Man or Doctor Strange from the recent Marvel movies. I was like, I guess because it was kind of what I expected. I know you guys gave me a hard time in text messages. I don't want to say I hated the trailer, but it's just kind of like, okay, it's kind of what I knew it was going to be. Does that make sense? From a Taika Waititi perspective, the trailer was what I thought it would be.
I just ignored you.
Oh, you did?
I didn't give you any grief.
No. So, I mean, it was cool seeing Natalie Portman as Thor at the end of the trailer. Cool seeing Star-Lord in there. But overall, it didn't make me jump like, oh, I can't wait to see it. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's cool. It's another Thor movie.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Some of the people have been taking screenshots and blowing stuff up and...
Yeah, that's every Marvel trailer. I don't read that much into that. I'm like,
But it's not. They're not saying stuff like, "Oh, Tom Cruise is going to be superior Iron Man," which supposedly the cast leaked on one of these movie sites, and it does say Tom Cruise is in the film, unless they photoshopped it. Which the same person that released the actor lineup for No Way Home, was one of the first people that said Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were going to be in the movie, and no one believed him. So maybe we do get Tom Cruise. But the hammer is cracked that Lady Thor is holding, and it does look like the Hela destroyed Mjolnir. So I wonder how it gets repaired and fixed. It'd be cool. Cool to find out, see all that stuff.
Power of friendship.
Yep. The power.
I'm not saying I'm not going to go see it or I'm not excited to see it. I just, the trailer didn't blow my mind or anything. It'll be cool. Because where do we leave him off? We basically left off with him leaving with the Guardians of the Galaxy and afterwards, yeah. So,
yeah.
At the end of Endgame, if I remember correctly. So we'll see where it goes. July 8th, that comes out. So we got some stuff to see before then, though. So I guess, we got some Doctor Strange and Top Gun and Jurassic World. So some things to see before it comes out. But it will get there.
Sir.
as it seems that movies are back on track now with no more delays. So that's a good thing. That's all the news I got, man, for today. So let's preview next week's, as we are officially in the mode for the final weeks up leading up to episode 300. And, you know, this movie was on our docket, actually. We were going to do it right before the comedy month, and it kind of got pushed to the end of the comedy month. And kind of appropriate, as Bruce Willis just recently announced his retirement from acting due to some health issues. And, man, we were good. Actually, we were going to do this movie like 2 years ago when we did the sequels that made us month, and we never did it. So we're finally getting around to doing Die Hard 2.
Listen, honey, when you land, can we check into a hotel, or leave the kids with your parents, order some room service?
You're on, Lieutenant.
I'll see you in about a half an hour, honey.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Christmas Eve.
There a cop on duty around here?
Airport police.
Go get him.
Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring.
Washington, D.C. International Airport.
What's this about?
Oh, just a feeling I have.
Ouch. When you get those feelings, insurance companies start to go bankrupt.
The tower's lost control.
Instrument landing system is down.
Backup systems won't come up. We've got blizzard conditions. Zero visibility.
Attention all controllers. We have a code red alert.
There's panic in the air.
This professional mercenary. You got the world's biggest drug dealer on his way here now. What do you need, a slide rule to figure this out?
You get the hell out of my office before I throw you out of my damn airport.
And terror on the ground.
Who is this?
Who I am is unimportant. What I want is very important.
Oh, we are just up to our neck in terrorists again, John.
But for police officer John McClane...
Damn it, I'm right.
It's just another Christmas.
You're the wrong guy in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Story of my life.
We've caught ourselves maybe 2 hours. After that, those planes low on fuel aren't going to be circling. They're going to be dropping on the White House lawn.
Any attempt to restore your systems will be met by severe penalties.
Somebody out there. It's McClane.
Fire up!
Wife's plane, they're going to run out of fuel in 90 minutes.
What are you going to do?
Whatever I can.
Last time, it blew you through the back wall of the theater.
Got a cowboy ride too rough?
I don't like to fly.
What are you doing here?
I don't like the moves either.
This time, it'll blow you sky high.
Is this what you expected?
No. This is just the beginning.
On July 4th, Die Harder. Bruce Willis, Die Hard 2.
This is kind of my guilty pleasure Die Hard movie. I actually really enjoy this one quite a bit. And I know it's not the favorite of the series, but I really like this movie. It's got Franco Nero in it. It's got who plays the bad guy? I can't think of the actor's name at the moment. But I just –
I know his face. I just don't know his name.
This is kind of the batshit crazy Die Hard movie in some ways. Now, I got a little bit crazier with Live Free or Die Hard race. On the side of an airplane. But out of the original three, this one was kind of the crazy one where, like, there's no way this could happen to this guy twice, and there's so much goes on in this movie, and there's a lot of bizarre plot points in this movie, like, no way he's a bad guy, or no, that's not possible, but it's a fun Die Hard movie.
Yes.
Yeah. It's got arguably one of the best death scenes with the ice pick to the eye.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. And Carl, you know, makes his – makes a little cameo in it too.
Yeah. So, and any thoughts real quick on Die Hard 2 long? Look like you're ready.
I've never seen it.
Ready for better. You've never seen Die Hard 2?
I've only seen bits and pieces of it, but it never really grabbed my attention as far as wanting to go watch it. I've only seen the first. I've seen all the other Die Hards except for the last one. The last Die Hard and there. Die Hard 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can never watch A Good Day to Die Hard, and your life will be okay. Trust me. Yeah. Die Hard 2 is a fun one. So that'll be on next week's show. But until then, man, just therebelradiopodcast.com is our website where you can find all our social media links. And we thank you, as always, for listening, and continue to be safe out there. And until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
Remember, as always, just go there and
do it.